Greetings, Meltopians. Are you looking to delve deeper into the world of Meltopia? Then check out our Patreon, where you can find written mythos pieces, world maps, found footage, art, Patreon-exclusive shows, and more. Just go to patreon.com/Meltopia and join one of our tiers for access to great new content. Brave the forbidden and embrace the darkness.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The ruins were grandiose, molded, and crafted with a careful and meticulous hand.
The minarets and spires were as twisted as the minds that made them. Although, who those minds belonged to, Wesley didn't know. They had a kind of Art Nouveau aspect, like the structures were meant to resemble biological structures or appendages. One looked like an atrophied clawed hand, spiraling staircases serving as vasculature running up the arm. Others resembled alien bodies, bedecked with curving extremities that seemed to serve no architectural purpose, but to be extravagant. As Wesley and the rest of the group walked through the municipal graveyard in awe, Arco simply lumbered through it, unimpressed with his surroundings. The creature seemed built for violence, its mind honed to a lethal edge, its attention fixed on potential targets and dangers, with no time for reverence. Still, Arcos had a way about him, a cerebral aura suggesting there was more to him than muscle and anger. As much as Wesley should loathe the thing, he pitied the creature. It was born into servitude, it seems, risen like some primordial creature from a seething gene pool, all its bits and parts hand-selected by malevolent and cruel gods. There was no blame to be giving regarding Arcos. He was at the mercy of his masters. Still, he was weary of the creature, as it certainly had an axe to grind with them. And why wouldn't he? They delivered him from one slave owner to another. He had every right to hate them.
Oh, how you little humans fret, weighed down by guilt as if it were an anchor fixed to your very bones.
I certainly don't expect you to understand.
And I certainly wouldn't want to be burdened by such a pesky thing. Your sympathies will one day get you killed, little Wesley. Or they would, if I wasn't here.
Yeah, how reassuring.
Poor Arcos. Just another puppet, dancing the dance of its insane master. Or is it master's? It doesn't seem to know. Though its name, Umbariel. I wonder.
What?
Nothing of your concern.
You know, at this point I don't know why I bother getting upset with you. I should just anticipate you're going to be an asshole.
Such is the folly of the human mind.
The ruins continued on, a labyrinth of debris and broken architecture. Inhuman statues and effigies stared down at Wesley from leaning towers or from within dark cavities. Horrible histories hiding somewhere beneath their basaltic skin. Finally reaching a massive fallen column, Arcos turned to the group.
It will be night soon. We should camp inside the tower.
There doesn't appear to be an entrance. How will we...
Arcos slammed his fist into the wall, and the rock crumbled under his might. Shards of brick and some unknown stone exploded around them, a large plume of smoke enveloping them like the breath of some sleeping dragon.
Holy fuck! Jesus, you want to give us a warning before you go smashing the place up?
Arcos ignored Salvatore and cleared out the hole he made, tossing giant stones like pebbles. When he was finished, he simply walked to the side and stood there, staring holes into the group.
Why? That's awful good of you, Arcos. Thank you.
Arcos looked at the lantern-toting seer with hostility, a viciousness he seemed to spare the others. He didn't say anything, but simply stood there like some kind of stolid sentinel. The group went inside the hollow, where they saw grandiose decor and stonework, fallen statuary and portraits.
Here, we can use some of this broken furniture. Should be useful for the fire.
They all scrambled about, picking through the mess and gathering kindling. Once they had a fire, the group sat around it, warming themselves from the cold breeze outside. Arcos, for his part, stood guard, his gaze practically burning through the surrounding mists.
How are you feeling, Salvatore? Everything okay?
Yeah, why?
I don't know. Just with, you know, the bonding or whatever it was the Belfing did, I just want to make sure you're okay.
Actually, I feel better than okay. I feel, elevated or something. But I still see things. I see...
Riva suddenly shot Salvatore a glance, and Salvatore put his head down.
Just dreams, really. Probably nothing.
Salvatore looked at Riva, and then back at Warren.
There's no shame in telling us, Salvatore. We're all here for you.
Yeah, I know. Really, it's nothing.
Vorin eyed Salvatore suspiciously, and then Riva. It was as if he could see through them, detecting some kind of treachery. However, he seemed lost on what it might be about. Wesley spoke, if not to simply break the tension.
So, Cyrus, what exactly is this person going to tell us that's so important?
If I knew that, Dr. Morgan, we wouldn't need to see them.
So what now? We've abandoned the notion of escaping this hellhole? And now we're... what? Going to defeat this Prince of Snakes? It's a bit far-fetched, isn't it? We're not in a fantasy now. We're not Arthurian knights, and we don't have any kind of fucking sword and a stone. What made you think this was a good idea?
We must work with whatever fate hands us, Dr. Morgan. I am simply working with the cards we've been dealt.
Fate, huh? Seems like a concept someone like you would abhor, given you and your people's proclivity for altering it.
Indeed, Dr. Morgan. Indeed.
I have to say, if this Sombariel is right, and the Prince of Snakes is indeed planning on leaving Grimland, then that's the exact thing Riv and I have come for, to see if this place poses a danger to the wider world.
And if it does?
Well, normally we'd inform Salens, and they would presumably coordinate with the various cabals and Esoterium to devise a plan. But now, well, River and I are to either find a way to get word to our betters or stop it ourselves.
Jesus Christ, this is crazy. How the hell can we stop this fucking thing? I mean, if everything we've heard about it is true, it's powerful beyond... Fuck, I don't know what, but I'm pretty sure if it can conquer an entire continent, it can stop six people aimlessly wandering about. I don't know if people is the right word.
God damn it, Sal, you know what I mean. Honestly, seeing you so averse to the notion seems quite odd, Dr. Morgan. After all, you previously said you came here without expecting to return. You seem to have a new flair for life, do you not?
Wesley shot Moffat a daggered glare, but he was right, wasn't he? Wesley had come to Grimland to face the darkness, fully expecting to meet his end in the pursuit. But upon seeing what lay in the blackness, he lost his nerve somewhere along the way, wanting to hide within the bastion of conventional life, if only to avoid whatever horrors came after it. He was a coward and despised Moffat for making him realize it.
Do it, Wesley. You know you want to. It'll only take a moment, a second, to dash across the flames and bash his skull against the rocks. Then we could kill the rest of them.
Wesley ignored Hesperius, although he could feel his muscles tingling, wanting to burst, transform. He felt a certain capacity, a control he hadn't before, but it was hardly manageable. It was like being in an inferno and trying to calm the fire, a composer trying to orchestrate hell's flames. Wesley quickly gathered himself and simply gazed into the fire, ignoring Moffat's prodding. Noticing Wesley's discomfort, Vorin yelled to Arcos to change the subject.
Arcos, you're welcome to come inside and join us by the fire.
The Goliath simply stood there, ignoring the invitation. Vorin shrugged and brought his attention back to the fire before him. The group stared silently, no doubt lost in their thoughts, stirring. For a moment, there was only the bonfire crackle and the thunderous sky bellowing above. But soon, other sounds began to seep through. They were just beyond the chitter of insects and nighttime creatures. A sneaking note in a vast song they had yet to play. There was a melody to it, a tune playing at the edge of their ears. Vorin was the first to address it.
Does anybody else hear that?
Yeah, it's like it's there, but not. I don't know how to explain it.
Arco suddenly growled, as if annoyed by the group's chatter.
It is the canticle of Ladissa Gravemore. The Aria of Ends.
The group looked at one another, puzzled. Then Salvatore looked at Arcos, his eyes narrowed and stern.
Kid, give a few more details there? He doesn't exactly sound healthy.
The giant beast sighed, tired of his attention being diverted.
Ladissa Gravemore is another of the princes. Dark miracles. Another legend. She was once the greatest singer in the land, performing for kings and singing in the most beautiful auditoriums. Some claimed her voice was that of heaven itself, the voice of the divine bestowed upon a single blessed woman. However, while she had scores of admirers, she also had her enemies. singers jealous of her unparalleled gift. Ever Bellaquix, Lydus's most acclaimed competitor, invited her to her home for a friendly meet one day. However, Eva had hired a group of vagrants to assault the woman as she made her way to her home. Specifically, they were told to cut her voice from her throat and return it to her. And so they did, leaving Vladissa voiceless. The world is a cruel place, and discarded Vladissa to the gutters of society, while Eva became the premier singer of the kingdoms. For years, Vladissa wandered, angry and bitter, until she met a hooded stranger in the garbage-strewn trenches of Blix, a dying city to the south. This man promised her a voice that could sunder kingdoms and incite awe in gods. Vladissa need only be his follower, his apostle. And so she agreed. Her benefactor, a man of great persuasion, arranged for her to perform in the city of Sablefen, the same place that Eva Bellaquix would be performing. It is said that the crowd laughed upon Vladissa walking on the stage, Eva in the front row leading the cheers, with a sinister smile on her face. But when Vladissa opened her mouth, a sound like no other entered the world, an aria from beyond the spheres. At first, the crowd bowed in awe, but as the notes flowed, their sounds of reverence turned to screams of horror. It is said they heard the songs of pain and suffering, the anguish of the universe translated into a diabolical ballad. Those who tell the story say Eva Bellaquix, before killing herself, tore her ears from her head to stop the melody. As for the rest of the city, they went mad and massacred one another. Even the buildings crumbled, crashing against one another, tumbling upon the masses until there was nothing but the echo of that terrible song.
Jesus. So,
what you hear are the echoes of that song, the canticle of the Disagreed Moor.
That means...
Yes, we are in the ruins of the fabled Sablefen.
Salvatore got up, angry, and walked toward Arcos. Why the fuck would you bring us here knowing that? Arcos, not one to be intimidated, bent low to fit his bulk within the fallen tower, glowered at Salvatore.
We are on the city outskirts. The song is weak here, with only a few notes playing in the wind. You may feel worrisome, melancholic, or even have some nightmares, but that is it. We will not be here long enough for it to have a substantial effect. If your lot is so weak that it cannot tolerate some bad feelings, perhaps our benefactor was a fool to think you could complete this task. Tell me, frail little thing, are you afraid of a few bad dreams?
Salvatore's eyes began to roil, some kind of dark life writhing within them. I'm getting a little sick of your little guy shtick. If you want to go another round, let's go, you overgrown sack of shit. A jagged smile crossed Arcos' face, and he stepped forward. Wesley quickly interjected. All right, guys, enough of this dick-measuring contest shit. We've got bigger stuff to worry about than you two hashing out some kind of fucking testosterone-fueled beef. Arcos, if you say we'll be safe here, we believe you. However, a heads up would have been appreciated. Can we all calm down now? Yeah, whatever. Salvatore walked back to the fire, his eyes still on Arcos. Another silence overcame the vacant tower until Vorin broke it.
What about Vladissa's voice box?
What?
Vladissa's voice box. It seemed like a salient aspect of the story that Eva took it. What happened to it?
It is said that Eva put it in an ornate glass case as a trophy on her mantle. However, after her death, the voice box disappeared. Many believe destroying the voice box is the only way to silence Vladissa. But these are just rumors. No one truly knows.
I see. Has anybody ever seen this Vladissa?
It's rumored that she wanders Gion in servitude of the prince. What that entails is anyone's guess. Though they say she serenades the prince from time to time. He is the only one who can survive her song.
Well, that's a tantalizing tale. Let's hope we don't run into this very unpleasant diva.
I'm sure you would tell us if we were going to. Moffat smiled snidely.
It depends on whether it would benefit us.
Wesley growled under his breath, his fists bunched at his side.
Was it to our benefit that I get experimented on?
Salvatore said it with a somewhat venomous tone, reflecting that it had been on his mind for a while. An awkward silence took over, and even Moffat seemed taken aback.
Salvatore, it's complicated. If I'd stopped it, the rest of us, including yourself, would have perished. It was the only way. I'm sorry.
Salvatore just nodded solemnly and stared into the fire. Wesley could still see something working behind his pupils, an otherworldliness brimming at the coasts of his retina. He knew the man was already saddled with the loss of his mother, but God only knew what burdens he was now having to tolerate. Wesley had noticed some changes in the man. First off, he was more aggressive, picking fights with Arcos any chance he could get. Wesley was curious whether that was just a natural development of attaining greater power or the consequence of what the Belfine bonded him with. He was also more somber. Wesley often saw him deep in thought, his mind far away, in an unpleasant place. But Salvatore still seemed too raw to talk about it. He would give it some time and then approach him. Or perhaps he had already spoken to Riva about it. Those two seemed to have formed a special bond. Speaking of which, Riva hadn't said much lately, keeping quiet since his resurrection. While Riva was never the conversationalist, he still seemed to be holding something back, though Wesley had no idea what. The rest of the night was calm, eventless, until everyone decided to retire to their tents.
Arcos, you don't need to stand out there all night. You can sleep.
I have a limited need for slumber. I will keep a lookout. Rest. You will need it for tomorrow's travels.
The giant creature turned toward the horizon, his eyes sharply focused. Vorn simply nodded and went back into cover, eventually crawling into his tent. Wesley followed suit as his eyes were growing heavy. He slipped into his tiny tent and then into the comforts of his sleeping bag.
And what do you want?
Legacy.
So, you what are someone like you? What I suppose you like me? And who's got you bound up? My tragic friend.
Is that old thing still holding me?
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 Is that old thing still holding me? Is that old thing still holding me? Is that old thing still holding me?
What do you mean?
The child. I want the child.
Grimland is a Maltopia production. Today's episode was written by Stephen Anzalone. The episode was edited by Walker Kornfeld. Sound production and editing was performed by Stephen Anzalone. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Maltopia. That's M-A-E-L-T-O-P-I-A. And if you'd like to know more about Grimland and contribute to its nightmarish expansion, visit us at www.patreon.com/Maltopia, where you can gain access to all sorts of art, mythology, stories, and more. For more information about Grimland and the world of Maltopia, visit us at maltopia.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.